Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, after a decade of uninterrupted growth, inflation has left average disposable income lower than it was 2 years earlier across the population as a whole. It's according to new research from the ESRI, which is out today, and their paper suggests that around 230,000 children are estimated to experience material deprivation. In contrast, it also notes that one group, pensioners, have been relatively well insulated throughout the inflation crisis. They have a higher disposable income than those under the age of 65. Barra Rowantree, director of the MSc in Economic Policy at Trinity College, is research affiliate at the ESRI and is on the line now. And we're also joined by Dr. Nat O'Connor, who's senior policy advisor with Age Action. So, Barra, to you first. The research lays out a fairly stark picture of how inflation has left some groups in a precarious financial situation.
That's right. So again, we've had a really strong economic recovery over the last decade or so. We had the financial crisis where incomes fell, but then since about 2012, 2013, we've seen incomes really grow strongly, both on average and across the distribution as a whole. And they've actually grown by more of that period at the bottom than they have at the top, and we've seen inequality fall. But that's until recently. What we then had following the invasion of Ukraine was a big spike in prices, so initially energy and then spilling over into things like food, as everyone would have noticed. And what that's resulted in is actually incomes in the latest data that we have from the CSO, on average for after-tax and transfer incomes, they're lower now in real terms, so adjusted for inflation, than they were 2 years ago. And so we've seen over the past kind of year or two, we've seen reductions in income kind of the order of magnitude that we saw at the start of the financial crisis, again, mm-hmm. adjusting for inflation. And I don't think that's kind of quite widely appreciated. Like, people know that they're squeezed, but, again, this is just, I think, putting some numbers on it and showing that that is, in fact, happening on average. But again, there are differences, as you say, by age.
And in the research, you make the suggestion that there should be a second tier of child benefit, a targeted second tier. But today in the Irish Daily Mail, Micheál Martin has confirmed that there is going to be an increase in child benefit overall for the first time in 10 years. So knowing that, do you still say there should be a second tier?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I mean, the government, well, it's more if the government wants to meet its targets, and it has quite ambitious targets about reducing child poverty and deprivation, it's going to need to do more than just increase the level of child benefit overall. Because, again, you could reduce child poverty and deprivation by increasing child benefit, but that goes to everyone and so therefore is very expensive. And so that means that there's less money around for all the other things government wants to do, including tax cuts, including, increasing public services. So it's not going to be possible to meet its targets around child poverty and deprivation, reducing those just by focusing on a universal measure. And that's really kind of why we point to the importance of a second tier. So we're not saying get rid of a child benefit or start taxing it, but have that universal component. And then on top of that, have another component which is really targeted against the poorest kids, and who, again, we see are, over the last year or two, are really getting squeezed. We've seen an increase in last year of data alone of 30,000 kids who are, again, experiencing material deprivation. That's being unable to afford two or more items from a list of kind of 10 essentials. So mm-hmm. they're really kind of striking and stark, I think, again, number on one in five kids that are essentially living in conditions that we don't think should be kind of acceptable in a country as rich as ours.
And pensioners, people might be surprised to hear this, your research shows that they have been insulated from the worst of the inflation crisis.
Yeah, and again, I think there's a few reasons for that. So what we see is that employment rates since COVID kind of ended, since the pandemic ended, have really been rising quite strongly for those over age 65, and that's leading to higher employment income. We also see a bit of higher rental income, and that's kind of been pushing up the incomes of those over 65. And so again, their incomes on average over the last year kind of risen by about 3%, while those under 65 have fallen by 3% adjusted for inflation. It does kind of show in a way that where there is the political will, we can kind of, and we've seen this before with pensioners, right? We saw that in the late 90s, early 2000s, there was very high rates of poverty and deprivation amongst pensioners. And there was a sustained effort by successive governments over kind of those years following to, increase the state pension directly, bring in a whole load of new measures that really did boost the incomes and prospects and living standards of pensioners. And again, that's it just shows that when there is, I think, a political priority on this, change can be achieved.
Okay, so now to bring you in here, pensioners were looked after. It's now time to take care of those children who are suffering material deprivation. What do you say?
Well, unfortunately, the report summary is very misleading about the situation of older people. And like with all of these reports, it's very important that people read the detail. Because if we look at the same statistics, for example, on deprivation, where we have 1 in 5 children now who don't have those basic material goods, that's exactly the same situation for older people living alone, where deprivation has doubled among older people living alone between 2020 and today. So it's gone from 10% to 20%. So likewise, for older couples, older people in general, deprivation is now 2/3 higher in 2023 than it was in 2020. Because, you see, what the report does, it focuses on the last 2 years. And in the poverty statistics, what we've seen is poverty and risk of poverty among older people spiked very high in 2021 and 2022. It came down again afterwards in 2023, but it's not yet as low as it was in 2020 when the inflation first began. So it's a bit misleading to look at that, you know, that snapshot picture, if you like. But when you get into the detail of the same statistics, what we see is that older people are not better off. And of course, many people have called Age Action to talk about the cost of heating, people going to bed early because they can't afford to keep the heating on, people heating one room, people who can't afford to keep the car running, and so they're not going out to meet people anymore, they're becoming socially isolated. So we hear all of the stories about people who are finding it very difficult to make ends meet. So, I mean, I would very strongly stress that when you look at the facts and figures, older people are, in many cases, are not better off. And the value of the state pension is €24 lower today in terms of its purchasing power compared to what you would be able to buy with that same money in 2020. So because the value of money has gone down.
So you're saying that there shouldn't be a choice here for government to make between this second tier of child benefit and not touching the state pension, that that's not the right way to look at it.
No, absolutely not. I mean, what we need is a social protection system that is built to protect people. And we got away with it for a number of years after the crash because there was very low inflation. But as soon as there was a problem with the high prices, the cost of living, we found that the social protection system just didn't keep up. Because it's not indexed. In every other Western European country, the state pension and many welfare other payments would be indexed. So as prices go up or as average wages go up, they go up automatically so that people are protected. We don't have that kind of system here.
Okay.
And, you know, that costs money, but, you know, that's what a social protection system is meant to do.
All right. Well, let's come back to Barra now on that point that Nat made at the beginning, that perhaps, you know, how well insulated pensioners are might be misrepresented in this report.
No, I don't think that's true. So, again, you know, there is, as Nat says, higher levels of material deprivation against single pensioners. There's a group in this research programme that we've highlighted before and shown how again, they really are at risk. And, you know, you've got things like the living alone allowance that are very well targeted towards that group and trying to boost their incomes. But, again, if you look at measures of poverty that account for housing costs, and this is one of the key kind of things here, because again, most people, 90% of those above the age of 65, you know, own their own homes, and with those who are renting, mostly renting for local authority. So if you account for those housing costs and you look at measures of poverty on that basis, which I think is a better way to look at it, again, what we've seen is that over the, we only have data from 2007, but over that time, you've consistently had 1 in 5 kids below that poverty line, and it's been more like kind of 10% for pensioners. So again, I agree with, you know, what said, it isn't a choice, right? And this is really about, I think, the political will and priorities, because we did have very high rates of pension poverty across all the, you know, all of those over 65. So I think it peaked at over 40% back in the late 90s. And again, there was the will there to have sustained increases to state pension. Things like indexation that Nat talks about are exactly the type of thing that we should be looking at, that you just, you don't leave it up discretionary, or rather you change it around, that by default, things like the pension, things like welfare payments rise in line with prices unless there's a decision otherwise.
Well, that's not what we have at the moment. We're not index linked. So looking at the budget for this year, and there are calls already for the pension to go up, Barry, should that happen?
Well, again, I think it comes down to government's political priorities, and again, I think wider political priorities. It's not you know, pensioners or children. There's also one of the things that's been rumoured, we've talked about in your show previously, is there's talk of increasing the inheritance tax threshold. So again, that's something which costs $50 million a year for what's been kind of bandied about. You could take a lot of children out of poverty for that. You could take a lot of pensioners out of poverty for that. So, you know, fundamentally, it does come down to what are the priorities that the government has? What does it want to focus on? I think really what our report is trying to highlight is that there are for children in particular, the last few years have not been easy. You see that in terms of material deprivation, you see that in terms of poverty, you see that in terms of falling incomes. And that really is something that I think should be at the forefront of the policy discussion around the budget, but ultimately it's one for the politicians.
Well, look, you're both saying there shouldn't be a choice between increasing the pension and having the second tier of child benefit. But Nat, you're saying, your organisation is saying, that pensioners need an extra €40 to bring the spending power back. Now, that very much puts it in play as a choice. That's a significant amount of money.
Yeah, well, but certainly we asked for that over 2 years. The government has introduced a living wage in 2026, where the minimum wage will be turned into a living wage and linked against average earnings across the economy. And we're saying, why not have a living pension by then as well, to fulfil the government's promise that the pension should be linked to 34% of total average earnings. So that's where that €40 figure comes from. But in terms of spending power, they would need to put €24.67 on the state pension next year to have the same spending power that it had in 2020, just to be able to buy the same goods and services. Now, they have closed that gap partially by these one-off payments. But of course, one-off payments for last year were spent last year or were spent earlier this year. So we come into the new year in January with a situation where the level of the state pension is €24.67 less a week in spending power compared to 2020. And that's what really matters. You may have, we got €12 with the last increase, but that's nominal. It's the real spending power that matters.
What about the inheritance tax? You know, Barrett held that up as an example of where you could make a choice. Now, lots of people, I'm sure, who ring Age Action would be conscious of the level of inheritance tax and be aware of it as an issue for them. So do you think that perhaps there's a choice to be made there?
Well, on the inheritance tax, very few people will pay inheritance tax above the existing threshold when we're talking about inheriting houses. You can inherit, I think, €1/3 million tax-free, from a house. And sorry, if you have a house that's worth, more than that, you already have an expensive house. And if you have a house worth, say, €500,000 divided between two children, they don't pay any tax on that. Mm-hmm. So inheritance tax is already very generous in Ireland compared to other European countries. Income tax, likewise, I mean, there's talk that €1.4 billion has been put aside for income tax cuts. At the same time, the Fiscal Advisory Council is warning that these cuts in the past increased inflation. Which is to say, when inflation is being increased through government action, that's taking away the spending power of the state pension. It's taking away the power of people's savings. And, we can't overestimate, overemphasize the cost of this. For every €1,000 someone had in savings, they've lost €195 of spending power from those savings. And they're getting very little back in bank interest. So people's spending power has been very badly eroded.
So let's say the government then, Nat, decide, well, we won't do the inheritance tax changes. Would you be happy to see that money that was not used for that purpose used for a second tier of child benefit?
I think absolutely we have to get all children out of poverty. And indeed, everybody who is in consistent poverty in this country should be raised out of poverty. I mean, Ireland is touted as one of the wealthiest countries in the world now. And yet we have children and families and older people who cannot afford to keep the heating on when it's cold and who cannot afford to have nutritious food at all the time or to put petrol in the car or whatever it might be. Very basic things that most people take for granted. And we need to go back to the earlier anti-poverty strategies, which really focused in on these issues and said, look, what would it take not only to just do it in one budget, but to consistently make sure nobody falls into that level of poverty?
Okay. All right, listen, we'll leave it there. Dr. Nat O'Connor and Barrett Rowntree, thank you both very much. Back after this break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.